Greetings, and welcome to another edition of My Car Guru. I'm going to take you on a journey today. You know, that's something we haven't done in a while. I've been on some road trips on some radio shows before, but this is different because I was putting your interests first on this trip. Well, kind of. So my wife invited me to a weekend away, and normally I'm the one doing the inviting, but she said, Lenny, we haven't been anywhere in a while, so I said, well, let's go somewhere. Any ideas? And I said, well, something different would be maybe Abingdon, Virginia, and stay at the Martha, you know, the Martha Washington Inn. And she said, okay. And then we just left it at that. Next thing I know, I get this email from my wife that has a copy of a reservation at the Martha Washington Inn this past weekend. So we went. And so as we were getting ready to go, I was thinking about taking my Porsche, and, you know, I just really didn't want, I wasn't sure about the weather and stuff. I knew it was going to get really cold. And I saw the Aria, which is the new Nissan electric vehicle, full electric, sitting next to the Charger that is right in front of our showroom at the Nissan store. And I said, I think I'll take that. Now, I knew the journey was, that's where we normally go. I thought Abingdon was probably 75 miles away. So 75 miles there, 75 miles back, that's 150 miles plus maybe 20 miles of driving around. So I felt like I was going to be well under 200, and I knew the range was somewhere in the high twos. So I was certain that I would be okay. So I jumped in the Aria and drove it to the house, and we loaded our luggage. As she was looking at the car, she said, what's that? I said, well, that's the new Nissan Aria. Well, that's pretty. I said, it's fully electric. Are you sure you want to take that? Yeah, we're taking it. So that was what we did. So we jumped into the vehicle and drove. Now, the thing about electric vehicles, I've talked a lot about them on this show. There are things to love, for sure. One is the instant torque. I mean, when you put your foot on the accelerator, I can't call it a gas pedal. When you put your foot on the accelerator, it goes, and it goes quietly. You hear no sounds. It's just weird, but I like it. I do like the sound of a motor in a sports car or something like that. I don't want to hear a motor on an SUV or something like that. It's irritating. It can be. So I don't want to hear wind noise either. This thing is very aerodynamic. All of them are, because they're trying to cut down drag. They want to extend that range. It handles very well. You know, it has a very low center of gravity because the battery is so heavy, and it sits between the front and the rear wheels, so it's right in the correct spot for a car to handle well and also to ride well. It rides really well because it's kind of heavy. It has easy-to-learn tech. I love the dash layout. There's a lot to love here about this vehicle, but the same goes true with the Ford Lightning and the Ford Mach-E. I mean, they're the full electric vehicles that we sell. Now, we really don't sell the Nissan Leaf. You know, I figured I didn't have any business stocking a vehicle that has a range of about 150 miles. That just didn't make sense. So this Aria is about 280, so I felt comfortable doing it, so we headed off. We drove through Johnson City and drove up through Bristol. I wanted to go by the Speedway, and then we ended up in Abingdon. And when I got to Abingdon, I had been, how many miles? About 80 miles, I think, because we had driven around Bristol just a little bit. I had used about 25% of the battery. So that was pretty good. I was feeling good about that. But, you know, one thing I noticed when I was riding in it, and this is just getting used to a vehicle, I was constantly looking at that range. I mean, I was suffering from range anxiety when there was no reason to suffer from range anxiety. I don't do that with a gasoline engine car because I know I can stop anywhere I want to. Do you know how many chargers, I guess I should say, level one, level two, level three chargers there are in Abingdon, Virginia? Zero that I could find. You can actually look on an app on the instrument panel of the Aria, and you can see where the charging stations are. It'll tell you. There were several in Bristol, but there were no level three chargers. Level three charger is a DC fast charger. That's one that will charge your vehicle in, you know, about 30 to 40 minutes, okay? But there were several level two chargers. So the next day, Tara and I got up. I said, well, let's go to Bristol. Let's go to the Pinnacle, which is a really nice shopping area in Bristol, Tennessee. And so we went, and we went to the Bass Pro Shops. That was the real reason I wanted to go there. So we spent some time there, and I drove around the building just to check and see if they had any chargers. Nope. I don't think the Bass Pro crowd cares anything about electric vehicles. And there were no other chargers there except Tesla superchargers. Can you charge a Nissan Ariya at a Tesla supercharger? No, not yet. They may make those available in the future, but I kind of doubt it. So I said, honey, let's do an experiment. Let's find a charger. So there were several on the map, and I found one on State Street or near State Street in downtown Bristol. Now, Bristol is divided between Bristol, Tennessee and Bristol, Virginia, and there's a line that runs down the middle of State Street, and you can actually put one leg in Virginia, one leg in Tennessee. I did that when I was 8 years old one time. Thought that was really cool. It's not so cool now. But there was a charger just one street over. So I was looking for it, and it was pinpointed on the map. So Tara and I made a left-hand turn on that street, looked over, and there it was. And it was a charger by a company, or it was actually installed by a company called ChargePoint. And so I saw that it had two different cords that came out of it. So I pulled up to it and walked up to the charger, and I had my credit card in my hand, and there's no place to stick a credit card. It says that you have to download the app first. So I downloaded the ChargePoint app on my phone. Took a couple minutes to do that. Had to put in my credit card, all that information, and then it was activated. It took me maybe 5 minutes to do it. I got out of my vehicle, went up to it, and actually activated. I put it in my wallet, which is a digital wallet on my iPhone. I won't get into that. But it makes it very easy to access things that you need to when you need to charge something on your iPhone. So I found it. I hit the button and boom, it was activated. It said plug into your vehicle. So I plugged into my vehicle. Now, let me tell you, when I plugged into the vehicle, what my car told me. It gently informed me that the estimated charge time, I'm looking at a picture of it, right? Because I had to take a picture of it just so I could prove it to people. Estimated charge time, 6 hours and 19 minutes. Now, just imagine. You're driving down or up Interstate 81. You're headed someplace up in Virginia, maybe Washington, D.C., and you got to pull over and charge someplace. And you pull over because you see there's a ChargePoint charger there. And you pull in and you plug in, and it says it's going to take 6 hours and 19 minutes to charge. I sat there for about 15 minutes, I think, and I think I gained 3 miles. So when you're traveling, those types of chargers, a level two charger, are worthless to you. You've got to find a DC charger. How many of those are in Bristol, Tennessee? Well, according to my map, none. There were no level three chargers unless you're driving a Tesla. I posted this on Facebook, the whole story, and this guy that I think is from that area says there is one level three charger in Bristol, but I forget where exactly it was. But I didn't need a charge anyway. This was just for you guys. This was just to be able to talk about it on the radio show. And I'm sitting there in the car with her, and I'm just thinking, okay, let's say this is a level three charger, and I'm plugged in. I'm going to sit here for 40 minutes doing nothing. Maybe looking at my phone, listening to the radio. You know, gosh, folks, that's just not for me. Am I an electric vehicle advocate? No. I will be when we have an infrastructure that supports electric vehicles, when you can, you know, when batteries will charge in 10 minutes or less, and, you know, the charging stations are everywhere. Like where you can pull up to Bucky's, you know, and they have all the gas pumps, and they have 50 electric chargers too, and they're all DC fast chargers. Then it will seem reasonable to own an electric vehicle and travel in it. Now, is it reasonable to own an electric vehicle and just use it locally? Absolutely, it is. When I got back, I had driven 195 miles. Obviously, I started with a 100% charge. When I arrived back at Gateway a little while ago, I had 21% left and 55 remaining miles. Now, I averaged 3 miles per kilowatt hour. Now, it's easy to do the math on something like this, and I'll get into that here in just a minute. Okay, I am back. You know, I may not have been great at math, but you don't have to be great at math to figure this out. So the capacity of the Aria battery is 87 kilowatt hours. Just imagine, just picture that as 87 gallons. So I averaged 3 miles, according to my gauge on the instrument cluster, I was averaging 3 miles per kilowatt hour. So how many miles does that translate to? Well, if you take 87 kilowatt hour capacity and multiply it by 3 miles per kilowatt hour, then I could go up approximately 261 miles. 3 times 87 is 261. Now, if I could increase my efficiency, how do you increase your efficiency in a car? That's right. You slow down. You don't be erratic on the pedal. You drive with your windows up. Of course, it was 15 degrees, so that wasn't hard. There's a number of things you can do to increase efficiency. You can put more air in your tires, things like that. But if I could get my average per kilowatt hour, the average miles per kilowatt hour, up to 3.5 with an 87 kilowatt hour battery or 87 gallons, I could go 304 miles. So it's just an alternative fuel, right? That's the way we have to look at it, with a couple caveats. One is that it's not free. There was a gentleman that weighed in on my discussion on Facebook about this, and he had purchased an F-150 Lightning from us. And he was talking about the fact that he does all his charging at home, and he can charge his vehicle for 11 cents per kilowatt hour. So that would be a full charge. So if this Aria was completely empty of electrons and you wanted to charge it to full, it has 87 kilowatt hour battery at 11 cents per kilowatt hour. That is $9.57 to fill up the vehicle and to drive 280 miles. Okay, so that's the approximate range of this thing. Or 304, depending on, you know, how fast you go. So not bad. I mean, when you think about what would it cost to fill up a vehicle that, you know, let's say you're getting 20 miles per gallon. Then to drive that same 280 miles, it would take 14 gallons of gas. And to $3 a gallon, that'd be about $42 worth of gas versus $9.57. So you save on that one trip $32.43. Well, let's expand that. Let's see what would happen if you drove 20,000 miles a year in this electric Aria. So your gasoline-powered vehicle, let's say it's getting 20 miles per gallon and gas is $3 a gallon. If you drive 20,000 miles, it's going to cost you about $3,000. In the electric vehicle, it's going to take about 6,667 kilowatt hours for you to drive 20,000 miles if your vehicle is getting 3 miles per kilowatt hour like this Aria does. So you multiply that times the electric rate that fella gave us of 11 cents per kilowatt hour, then you would spend $733 on electricity to power your electric vehicle to drive 20,000 miles. That's 733 versus 3,000. So you save $2,267 in 1 year on energy. Multiply that by, I don't know, let's say you keep a vehicle 5 years, $11,335 is what you would save on fuel, on driving your vehicle. Now, does the electric vehicle cost more? Right now it does. I mean, you can buy a gas-powered vehicle for less than you can buy an electric vehicle. Now, General Motors is getting ready to come out with a cheaper one. I think Volkswagen is as well. Ford has it on the drawing board. We don't know exactly when that's going to come out. But I still think this is going to be a much slower rollout than what you see in the media. I mean, the media is all over this. I really don't know why either. I guess it's because of the liberal kind of a bent that they have as far as the media is concerned and, you know, all the environmental concerns and stuff like that. But my issue with that is that it's going to cost, I don't know what it's going to cost, but it's going to take a whole lot more energy generation from coal and natural gas. I don't know about nuclear, but, you know, it's going to take a whole lot more power to be able to power all these electric vehicles if people were to make as dramatic a shift as they make it sound like they're making, but they're not. I mean, about 2 years ago, about 2% of the vehicles that were sold were electric, and most of those were in California. Now it's about 5%. So it's grown. Yeah, it's more than doubled. But it's not going to more than double every year. Now, a lot of the people that are in the industry think it's going to, but, you know, and what do I know? I'm just a guy in East Tennessee trying to sell cars. But I'll tell you one thing. I know my customers, and there is very little interest in electric vehicles. Now, I think if you go to the time and trouble to explain it to somebody that's considering it, and they see these kind of numbers, they say, well, yeah, maybe that makes sense. If we're just going to use it the way we normally use a vehicle and we have another gasoline-powered vehicle to go on vacations, then maybe electricity makes sense. I mean, if you're driving 20,000 miles a year, which most people don't do, you know, I bet the average around here is probably 12,000 to 15,000 miles a year, but you're still going to save money. Does it make your electric bills go up? I don't know. I'd have to ask somebody in the power company if they think that the electric bills are going to go up because your usage goes up. I know if my usage goes up at Gateway Ford, it definitely goes up because I have to pay based on peak demand. But I don't know if, you know, somebody in a house in a neighborhood has to worry about that. But I know also that you can charge your vehicle at non-peak periods like overnight, and it doesn't cost as much as if you charge it in the middle of the day. So there's all kinds of little considerations we're going to have here. The driving experience, it's wonderful. It really is. It's great. It's very quiet. Like I say, it's very powerful. It's just a totally different feel from a gasoline engine, very smooth. And I like that part of it. I like the acceleration, the things like that. But I certainly don't like the range anxiety. I got enough things to be anxious about. I don't need that. So if I owned this Aria, and I'm here at the dealership right now. Right now, I've got, let's see, 55 remaining miles. So really, I could drive it the rest of the week here, to and from work, and probably drive around a little bit more. I wouldn't want to go to Johnson City or, you know, drive 30 miles out of town or something like that. But I could drive the rest of the week here and not charge it at my house, and then I could wait until this weekend to charge it up. More than likely, though, if I had a charger at home, which if I had an electric vehicle, it's going to be a level 2 charger. It's going to be a 240-volt electric charger, something like you would use to run your dryer or your range or something like that. So I'd have that installed in my garage, which cost anywhere between $1,000 and $1,500. It could cost more depending on, you know, how close your where you need your charger to be, how close is it to your panel, because the electricians have to run wire to it, and wire is not cheap. But more than likely, I would go home and plug it in, and tomorrow morning I'd have 100%. And, you know, if you plug it into a level 2 charger like that, and you do that on a regular basis, then that's good for your battery, and it'll last a long time. Speaking of batteries, what's it going to cost when it goes bad? Well, let me tell you what you need to do about that. I'll be right back. Okay, I mentioned several weeks ago, maybe a few days ago, I can't remember, that not to buy an electric vehicle to make sure that you lease it, because I think the technology is really going to change. If you're an early adopter and this kind of stuff excites you and you're not worried about traveling or anything like that, you've got other transportation, you know, electric vehicle can be kind of fun. And like I say, but it's not something that I recommend for just the average person, you know, because when you go on vacation, it's just going to add another layer of stress because you're going to be looking for some place to charge. Now, on my screen, on the Aria, it showed me basically where the chargers were, what type of chargers they were, and if they were being used at this particular point in time. I don't know how reliable that information is, but if I pulled up to a charging station and there are just two places to hook up and there's two cars being charged and two more waiting in line, I'm going to be pretty discouraged. I'm going to say, why in the heck did I lease this thing? But if that doesn't matter, if you drive locally, I don't think it's going to be an issue. So what do you do if the battery goes bad? Well, you take it in and you let the dealership fix it under warranty. What if it's out of warranty? Get ready, because it's going to cost you about as much as a nice 2-year-old used car, probably anywhere from $12,000 to $18,000 to replace that battery. Isn't that awful? Now, in some cases, you won't have to replace the battery. You just might have a couple bad cells or something like that. I don't really know what that's going to cost. Even the dealers don't know how much that's going to cost. Now, I know that if you buy a Tesla, if you take it or lease it, you take it to the Tesla dealer, You're going to have to find one first, and you're going to, in this case, East Tennessee, you're going to have to drive all the way to Knoxville, or maybe they'll come and pick it up, and you're going to be without a car for a while. How's that sound? Well, wouldn't you rather, you know, if Chevrolet makes a really good EV, wouldn't you, you know, there's, I don't know, 5-6 Chevy dealers in this market area. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to just jump in that EV and drive it down to the Chevy store and let them fix your vehicle? There is no wait. You know, you just get it in and you get it out. They'll probably provide you with a rental car if you're under warranty. If you're not under warranty, though, like I say, it's going to be very expensive. And that's why I say lease the vehicle and don't lease it for any longer than the warranty period. I truly believe that in the next 3 to 5 years, they're going to really dramatically improve battery technology. These solid-state batteries are coming. That's a fast charge. They're talking 10 minutes or less to get a full tank, and also much better range. So that's something we can all look forward to, because they are going to push these. I think the middle America, we're probably 25 years away. We'll still be driving gas engines 25 years from now. I probably won't be here, but you'll be driving a gasoline engine-powered vehicle. There will be a lot of hybrids, I believe. I think that the full electric push is going to they're going to run into a wall at some point. It's either going to be on the supply side of electricity or on the vehicles, and I think the supply side is where the issue is going to be. So anyway, that's my opinion. If you have any questions about this or other automotive-related things, don't hesitate to call me, 423-552-2020, or send me a text. That's probably the best way. Send me an email to LennyLawson2020@gmail.com. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and I'll see you next time.